So this is a little weird.
Okay, what? This is a little weird. I don't have pants on?
Well, that's not...
Yeah, that's not really that weird.
Not weird in the sense unusual. For us.
Okay.
More weird that the timing of this. Because...
Tomorrow
is election day.
Something.
But when everybody is listening to this...
It's long after.
It's long after. It's old news. But right now, everybody's like just freaking out about the election.
I have been on edge for days.
just days?
Well, okay, for about 11 days. Since Comey's letter, I've been on fucking edge.
Yeah.
Watching the polls, destroying the battery on my phone, just like nonstop reading every article I can find.
Did you feel a little bit better about the news? The FBI was like, just kidding. You're shaking your head.
No, I'm shaking my head in exasperation. It's like, first of all, the letter was not necessary.
Yeah.
Well, no.
It really wasn't.
No, because I know for a fact, and I proved it with an article today, but they just need to run some software and would have been able to tell really quickly, once they got the warrant, if they were dupes or not, which they largely were. So he could have just fucking waited till then. And then be like, we found a bunch of emails that aren't duplicates of what we already checked, therefore it's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
You are...
S. Michael Smith, and you are...
M. Michael Crossing.
And we are buddies in space. Youngster's over!
Yay!
Drinking to that again.
I can't because I finished my drink already because I've been so...
And you have a sip of it. Was it good?
It was all right.
All right.
I don't know if the dark rum really goes with the spiced grapefruit tonic.
I know. I even though it's spiced rum, Mike, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not a spiced rum. Aged but not spiced.
Yeah, that might have.
There's probably a little spice in there.
Old spice.
Aged. But I opted for the vodka, which I'm sorry for, I guess, taking the last of your vodka.
No, there's a smidge. I might go make myself an extra drink. I haven't had alcohol in a week. It's that time of year.
I haven't either. I haven't had alcohol since the last time we were together.
Nice. So it's been more than a week for you.
Has it? I guess so.
Yeah. Since our last podcast? The 50th episode?
Was that after our party or was that...
It's before, I think.
Okay. Whenever. Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the time of year where I went crazy on Halloween candy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm way off my diet. And I was like, I remembered like from years past, I'm like, if I don't clamp down on shit right now, I will not be able to stave off like putting on like 10 pounds for the winter.
Yeah.
So I'm like...
So this was like Simon's first real Halloween, right? That he could actually participate in.
Oh, my God.
How did that go?
Great. We basically have to use a crowbar to get the dinosaur costume off him now.
Uh-oh.
Like, he is not only a hardcore dinosaur kid, but hardcore dressed like a dinosaur kid.
Oh, that's dangerous, man.
It's adorable, but, so Erica found, like, little, like, headband and hat dinosaur-themed stuff and then clip-on tails. So we totally got to half-ass it. So it was fucking freezing cold Halloween night. So we're out there. He's, like, dressed up in four layers of dinosaur clothing. Full dinosaur one-piece costume on. Happy as a clam. Tyrannosaurus Rex gloves. We went all out. And light up BB-8 shoes. You know, that's...
Of course. All the dinosaurs wore those.
BB-8 shoes. I mean, what? They were on sale. And then we just had, like, big winter coats. And, like, Erica had a Triceratops headband. I had a big T-Rex hat.
Aww.
And a clip-on tail. So we totally got to half-ass it. Yeah, he loved it. He couldn't, like... He was so excited. Like, being given candy over and over again just, like, totally overloads a kid's fucking circus. So they're like, wait, I'd have to go up to a stranger's house and they will give me shit? Like, these are
this is a bad lesson to learn.
So Halloween night is not a good lesson teaching night. But he would get overwhelmed. So, like, he couldn't get straight that, like, you ring the bell, you need to step back because the door opens.
Yeah.
You hold out your thing and say trick or treat. Like, it seems so simple, but he totally boned it every time.
You know, you think that maybe this is why we have to spend so much time later telling kids don't take candy from strangers.
Yeah, because we fucking encourage them for days on end to take candy from strangers. We take them to places and we take them in the fucking dark to get candy from people. It's terrible practice. Terrible practice. He had a great time. Erica did the check the candy, you know, checked it all out. Because one kid got a razor blade in 1986.
I know. Ruined it for everyone. Never happens now.
One lady gave him a quarter. I think he was probably pretty disappointed by that. I was like, sweet,
a quarter. Wouldn't everyone be disappointed by that? Wait, was it candy and a quarter or just a quarter? Just a quarter. Come on, really?
Like, if this wasn't suburbia, what, I would think that like, she just had her laundry bin right next to her. And she's like, oh, here's a quarter.
Is maybe in like 1973.
No, she would have given a dime or maybe a penny at that point. Jeez,
somebody got teepeed.
She probably did.
Do kids still do that? No.
I'm assuming somewhere. It's a pretty lame street. Or no, not lame, tame. Pretty tame street. Our neighbors who run across our lawn is about the worst of it, so. I know. We have a big lawn. That would be really annoying. Our lawn's fairly small, so they just zip across it. No, he had a great time. We gave out candy. He enjoyed. He didn't even care, actually. He was more into it last year looking at the costumes. This year he just wanted to fucking eat his candy.
So how many Trump costumes did you see out there?
None.
None?
None.
I'm shocked.
This is a very little kid only show. Oh, but something funny did happen.
Okay.
So there are kids all over the place, like that live near us.
This is not a cul-de-sac, but it's almost a cul-de-sac.
It's a loop. So there's two entrances. We're right smack dab in the middle.
It's just perfect.
It's
really
fantastic because everyone can play in the street and there's no cars because everyone comes in on their side of their entrance of the loop. Right.
And you're at the
we're in the middle
apex of the loop.
Just off the apex. We're at the denouement. to call back to a previous podcast. Most cars have hit their home before, and maybe they're drunk and they actually hit it, but they don't bother going past us because, roughly the apex. So we went to a house where there was a bunch of little kids, and there was, like, a Halloween party happening. And we went to the door, and, like, the dad answered, he's like, oh, we have a dinosaur, too. You're a T-Rex? And he goes, hey, get the T-Rex. And a 7 foot tall, full body, fully enclosed T-Rex.
Like, oh my God. In. We're talking like cosplay quality, right?
Well, this was just like a giant inflatable. So it had a window, had like a window at the neck. So the guy, it was like another dad, could see where he was going. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I looked down and Simon like kind of like gets that like kind of doesn't go white, but like he kind of whimpered and then shrieked and then ran behind Erica. And the guy felt bad, but we were like, oh, that's all right. He scared him. So then every house after that, there was like a ritual. Simon would go up, totally bone and fumble the trick-or-treating. And then as we walked away, he'd go, remember that giant T-Rex at that house? Every fucking house. He said it like 10 times.
Did he want to go back or was he just still terrified?
See, this is my thing. This is going back to what we were saying a couple of episodes ago about kids and dinosaurs. It's like, kids are obsessed with dinosaurs because they're also partly afraid of them because they're big and scary and monstrous. And they, like, want to tame that fear with, the like, knowing the names and stuff. But, yeah, he totally lost to that T-Rex, man. Scared the shit out of him. As we were leaving, I'm like, look, he has sneakers. It's a person. And like, Simon was, like scaredly looking, trying to convince himself it wasn't a real mini T-Rex. you recently had a birthday.
I did. We didn't talk about it.
No. And your birthday was filled with pompousness and misdirection.
So, yeah. What should we talk about first?
We should talk about how I'm going to pause and go make myself another drink.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Be right back.
Be right back.
BRB.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Deek. Can you believe all that time just passed just now?
That took forever.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got distracted.
You had to go out to the store. Buy the vodka.
I forgot to mention I was out of vodka. Sorry.
Oh, man. Anyway, we're back.
You had a birthday.
What were you talking about? Oh, yeah, I had a birthday.
Start with the dinner.
Okay, so should we name names?
I am not opposed to that.
You're not opposed?
Maybe okay. We should be. No, you know
I'm
what?
Not going to name it. I'm not going to name the place.
Let's try to be really obvious.
I'm just going to say that this place has a kitchen.
Would you say that kitchen is the defining feature of it?
I would say the kitchen is a very important part of this restaurant.
Okay. The central aspect of this restaurant is the kitchen.
Is the kitchen, yes.
At this restaurant.
At this restaurant.
Okay, got it. Look, we weren't even nominated for best podcast in the Rochester newspaper, so we can have whatever the fuck we want.
Oh, yeah, I told you I was nominated. I didn't even check. Did that come out? Did the winners come out? I'm sure I didn't win.
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't.
But know. I was in the show that was nominated for one of those.
If we had timed it better, we could have mentioned it in the podcast.
No, gotten you some votes. That's all right. I don't want to get votes that way. That feels cheap, and I still wouldn't win because there aren't enough people listening.
It's like let me tell you something. Those are just popularity contests. You know that, right? That is exactly how you win those.
I know, but we were up against like Romeo and Juliet, which I know for a fact would have had a much bigger cast.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
So there you go. Oh,
I mean, they all die, so yeah.
But yeah, I was in a show that was nominated for the best show in a... I forget what the category was. It was a theatrical production.
Best show in a theater that wasn't Jiva.
Yeah, in a theater that was not...
A theater.
It was like a public space theater because it was at...
Muck.
At Muck. So
several former churches that have been converted into...
Yeah, I guess so.
That's a thing that's happening all over Rochester right now.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Saving churches.
You can always have more theater.
Always have less churches being used for religion.
Anyway, so yay me. It was a great cast, a great show. I hope we won, but we probably didn't. I'll find out soon. But birthday dinner. So I found out about this place. It has a really nice kitchen. And it sounded really, it sounded intriguing.
We almost went to dinner there, Erica and I, with some friends.
Before I'd even gone there, before...
I just happened to be getting shot with a laser the same day, so I decided that a 5-course meal, or a 7-course meal, whatever, is probably a bad idea.
So...
Turns out
you were probably right. So the theme of this restaurant, it's an upscale restaurant. It's reasonably expensive restaurant. Maybe unreasonably expensive is a better word.
I'd say unreasonably based on your review.
It's a snooty restaurant. This was the most snooty, obnoxious, pretentious. That was the word I was looking for. It was the most pretentious meal I've ever had. The most pretentious dining experience I've ever had.
Not just in Rochester, just straight up anywhere.
Straight up ever. Yes.
And you've eaten in some pretty like upscale places.
I have. But when I've been to a good upscale place, when you have a server, and you know this, obviously, if you go to a good place and you have a good server, they have a rapport with you. They try to talk to you, you know, like on your own level. They try to, you know, be sociable with you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't try to turn their nose up in the air and say, well, this is what we're doing here, and if you don't like it, then
that's a very, it's a very 1980s style of restaurateuring. No, seriously. And for whatever reason, it's stuck in a lot of places. I've actually worked at places that maintained that in the 2000s, and they were sort of dinosaurs in that regard.
Yeah.
So everyone was on coke, everyone was abusive. It was just a weird place, not a healthy place to work. And I didn't do coke, it was just not a healthy place to work. But yes, you're right. The modern upscale restaurant, you know, thing nowadays is be a human being.
Yes.
Because any fucking server will tell you you get better tips.
Well, yeah.
90% of the time. Sometimes you get someone who wants to do a business deal or is like a chic and wants, you know, a ghost service, right?
Yeah.
They don't want to know you're a human being. And that's fine. That happens for various reasons. But by and large, yeah, they want a personable, someone they can trust, someone who can make recommendations.
Yes. This was not at all like that for a number of reasons. And first and foremost, this was not this was a fixed menu restaurant.
Prefee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like a 7-course or something. I forget how many courses. Well, I'll say 7 courses.
I think there's a 5-course early seating and a 7-course later seating.
Sounds right. So you get what's on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a food allergy. I'm allergic to wine. So that was
fairly problematic.
Yeah, it is a little bit problematic, which means we couldn't do the accompanying wine pairings.
Accoutrement?
Yes.
Oh, the pairings. Right, okay.
Yeah, because they did wine pairings with the meal.
You probably saved a buttload of money.
Well, probably. But again, we called them. We said, hey, I have a wine allergy. Is this going to work? Is this cool? Can we still do this?
You did it absolutely right.
That's the best thing ever. That's fine. Come on. We'll come. There's only like maybe one dish that would be a problem, but we'll fix that for you. And you know, so we're like, fine. And we said, we want to bring some sake because I can drink sake. And I know they don't really have mixed drinks at this place either. It's just the wine.
Because you can drink mixed drinks.
Yeah, I can drink. Right. Well, obviously. As anyone who might have listened to any of these podcasts knows, yes, I can drink mixed drinks.
Mike died after the first episode. It's been me the whole time, just doing two voices. You hear that laughing? I'm just layering two different tracks right now. See, watch. I'll just laugh alone right now.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Audacity's an awesome program.
So we got that set up. We show up. And the thing about this is that they do it as a very presentational style. Mm-hmm. It's not just the seven courses. It's that they have, it's kind of almost a theatrical setting where there's kind of a curved bar and all the tables are arranged around the bar. The tables are arranged around, they're around the bar.
I'm going to look at a picture of this place.
Yeah, it's certainly meant to be, up at the bar is where they do the final preparations for the meal in front of everybody mm-hmm. so they can show you what they're doing.
Okay.
And that's one of the selling points of this.
Sure.
So what it turns out being...
their website is fucking pretentious. That's the most pretentious font I've ever seen. Go ahead. Go on. Sorry.
I didn't even know where to... Okay. It took forever. So we get in. I don't even want to get into the issues with the sake.
They're pretty funny.
I'll just touch on this. They have a sommelier there, and she wanted to pour the sake for us and not have us keep the bottles at the table, which is kind of ridiculous because we have the traditional sake cups.
Right, which is going to require constant refilling.
Yeah, they're small. They need to be refilled a lot.
Which is intrinsic to the sake drinking experience.
Yeah, that's one of the traditions of drinking sake is that you... pour for the other person. So my wife and I we always expect to pour sake for each other, and it's a very social thing.
Is that where they were doing the staging?
Yes.
Okay.
That is.
So it's like a weird prep station / bar.
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay.
So what this turned out to be was that each of these seven courses took probably at least 15 to 20 minutes to prepare. And this is just like the final plating. Wow. We don't actually see them cooking anything because that's back in the actual kitchen. Which is behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. So we see the materials that have been pretty much all prepared already, brought out, and then painstakingly plated.
You were watching the mise en place. You were watching the final...
Yeah, which is boring as fuck. It is. It's so, you're watching somebody precisely place like three sprigs of parsley, and they better fucking get
guy?
It right.
Wasn't there a sprout guy who? Like,
yeah, there was a sprout guy, like and like mega... no, the chef was like, "Here, you have to do it like this, fucking this, and then this." And he hands a bowl to the other guy and, like, fucking get it right. I mean, he wasn't saying this that we could hear it, but you could tell.
It was in the body language.
Yeah. And, I mean, I swear to God, I watched, like, for like, 20 seconds, this one guy had, like, some sort of, like, a chip or something, and he was trying to get it to stand up just right on one plate. And like, he's like, no, that's not, no, it's gotta, let me fucking get, what won't stand up! All the other ones are standing up. I can't get this one to stand up.
He couldn't bolster it with the food.
I think he finally just gave up on it. And everybody's like, oh, he didn't get that one.
Oh. Everyone holds up like three cards. Like, you get 3 points for that, sir.
But it would have been one thing if we were watching them actually prepare the food.
Well, what's exciting is fire.
Yeah, they were just like,
no, I'm serious. Like that is the one thing everyone wants to see is a fucking pan on fire with oil.
That I know. That we didn't see anything
right?
like that.
That is the thing you think of when you think of watching an exciting
this
kitchen.
Yeah, this is just like placing shit on plates.
This is watching grandma like quilt a quilt. This sounds boring as crap.
It was boring. It was really boring. I've been totally cool if he was like, if he was preparing something or cutting things or doing any fucking thing that, you know, you see the chefs on TV do.
Right.
But you don't see any of that.
There's no Anthony Bourdain.
And they're not, even worse than that, while they're doing this, they're not talking about it anything. They're
yeah, I was going
like,
to ask
they're
you
talking
that.
Themselves. You know, they're like, get that right. No, that fucking parsley's out of place, you fuck.
But without that drama.
Yeah, without the drama.
See, that at least would make it worthwhile.
it would have been much more interesting if he's like saying, here, we're putting this on, and this is where we got this, and this is what this thing is.
This is locally sourced from this farm, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And if they did that while they were actually putting things out, that would have been much more interesting.
Sure.
But the way it happened was the 15, 20 minutes of plating, and then the servers take everything out when it's ready and get everything out in front of your, and everybody's got their plate in front of them.
Because everyone was sat, so
we're all fucking waiting.
Communal seating, well, not communal seating, but everyone was sat at the same time, everyone gets their food at the same time.
Yeah, except for like the first course. I gotta say this, they got the first course out to us, and we were like one of the earlier ones,
right?
And we're like, oh, good, and we like start eating. Like, there's food in front of me. Everybody at my table has food. Yep. I'm gonna eat.
That's what you do. That's
I know. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with us? And then, like, after we're finished. Then we're done eating. We're like, I'm gonna have some more sake now.
And well, have you talked about the size of these portions yet?
No, I'll get to that.
Okay.
So yeah, we have our two bites, and then and after we're done, everybody else finally gets their plate in front of them, and then the chef says, "Okay, what you have in front of you is
an empty plate."
And then right. Like, oh, well, fuck. I'm sorry. And I fucked this up.
I could just imagine like some snooty like Pittsburghian being like talking with
they're eating over there.
Like, always with the hand in front of their mouth. Like, oh my God, can you believe that? What a faux pas. I'm so embarrassed for them.
So yeah, we very quickly realized that you get your food and then you fucking wait until everybody has their food. It. And then the chef tells you what the fuck it is. And then after you've sufficiently gazed at it and can appreciate it intrinsically,
your eyes have feasted on the physical visual wonder that is in front of you.
You have to mentally prepare for it, and then you fucking take that bite, and then that's it, and then it's gone because there's only one bite. And yeah, and I swear, you've seen in movies and TV shows...
The large cloche, that is the thing that covers the plate, yeah. Right? You get the gloved, white gloved hand, yes. And it, with a flourish, grabs the top of the cloche,
and it's half an asparagus. What?
And that actually
happened. And that is actually what this was. They were comically small portions.
So would you say that after seven without courses...
any hyperbole whatsoever...
A slice of pizza would have been appropriate after
I
that?
I would have been fine with a slice of pizza. Yeah. I certainly had room for it. No, they were tiny. They were fucking tiny. And it's the fact that you're waiting 20 minutes for a bite.
So you're looking at...
It's insane.
You're looking at like a solid 2 hours.
Yeah. And like you're doing... Oh, yeah. I think it was like 2.5 hours.
They are banking on you drinking. They must be counting
on alcohol. I guess.
Because how else can they expect
that? They probably don't have that high food cost.
well, food isn't as profitable as booze. So can I ask what did this end up costing you because you brought your own booze? Like, what was the final bill?
Oh, God, I don't know. I didn't pay. I mean, my wife was paying for it. Anyway, you can look it up online. I think the corkage fee was like maybe... 10 or 15 bucks or something. It wasn't that high.
That's pretty good. Usually I see 20 or 25 at the upstairs.
Yeah. But paying for our bottles wasn't that bad. And I mean, I literally didn't have an option because I would have been dead.
Right. The only booze they served would kill you.
The only booze. Yes, exactly.
But I mean, they were small portions. So even if your throat had mostly closed up, you might have
probably could have got things in. Yeah. Yeah, and it was God. I could go on. This chef was just so in. He was so far up his own butt.
Didn't he bounce the minute the last course was plated?
Yes. When they were done, and he was like, "Yeah, this is the last thing," and everybody like gave him an applause, and then he was gone. He was just gone.
Did you guys clap?
Yeah.
Peer clapping.
Yeah, it was like yeah, okay, sure. But he was so excited about.
The food. And then he was so excited to jet.
Yeah. And he said, like after like the second, during the second course or so, somebody asked a question. He's like, oh, I love questions. And he answers a question and he like never took a question again for the whole night. And it was so rushed. It was like, I don't want to ask him a question. I want to fucking eat. I've been waiting so long for this food. You don't understand. I don't know. No more talking. Just, I want to eat now. My God. And there was one, it was like a freaking scallop or something, which there were a couple of things that were pretty good. There was a duck that was good. There was a scallop that was good. But everything that was like, oh, we got this and it was locally sourced and it was so good. We didn't want to really do anything to it. So we seared it, we soaked it in this, and then we added these herbs to it, and then we pureed it, and then we did this, and there you go.
But we didn't want to do much to it.
But we didn't want to do much to it.
We really want you to enjoy the natural flavor.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Go there if you want, you know, to just
be pretentious.
Make fun of it later. I mean, if you've got money and you just want to, like, I want this ridiculous experience, and I don't mind if I pay for it. Then just fucking do it.
It's filling. That is a niche. That is a niche in the restaurant world, and good on them for filling it. And apparently, they're doing well enough to still be there.
I guess. There are like some really mixed reviews on Yelp and Google for them.
You should add to them. Should. You have a pretty funny.
But I can totally get both. I mean, it was obviously our experience, but I think there's a lot of people that are like, I paid this much for it. I am going to convince myself that I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time. Just like Republicans get... Anyway.
Oh! Hey, no. None of that. You're done with that.
I drank a lot of booze tonight already in a short period of time. I want to say that the funniest thing about this, from what you told me, because I got the longer version of this, was the sommelier stuff with the sake. That was actually the most humorous thing to me. Just the power struggle you guys had with your sommelier.
She wanted to take the bottles away. And we're like, no, we're paying.
Yeah, but so what happens when she actually tried to pour? Because she insisted on pouring it for you initially, too, right?
Yeah, she like spilled some of it the first time she poured it. And I'm like, come on, really? And you know, we didn't say that, but that feeling was there.
It was like a really nice bottle of sake.
Yeah. It was upscale. It was a good. I mean, we don't have shit sake. Well, no, that's not true. We do. We got our cup sakes, but we didn't bring them.
Every once in a while, you have to drink some Bombay. But I'm saying that this was, you guys go all out on your celebration day sakes, and it's a waste to drop any.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an experience. I'm glad we went.
It's a good story.
It's. I'm never going to get tired of talking about that.
It's a good fish out of water story.
So let's go from that. Let's have a little food segue.
Ooh, all right.
Because I brought a snack.
Ritz?
And this is for my wife, because she was like, you have to bring these on and talk to them and talk about them.
You're going to talk to them. I need to talk to these.
Okay, so this is like the laziest fucking thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
This is, I think we got this at Kmart or something, or Walmart. This is fudge-covered Ritz.
It's literally,
which is
the
exactly
picture,
what you would think.
Yeah, the picture states to make clear that it is a Ritz cracker with chocolate poured on it. It actually
illustrates
this.
It's like they're not
even
trying.
No. It's like, fuck, we got all this like wholesale fudge, but we're a cracker company. And shit, just fucking pour the fudge on the cracker. Call it a day.
It's limited edition, though.
Right, exactly. So. Because you can do anything if you call it limited edition. Fucking anything.
That's the thing, though. Like, limited edition is like everywhere now. I see limited edition stuff all the time.
There was a thing. There was a time when that was actually a limited edition, but
yeah,
it's been decades since.
And it's gonna. It's if people really like these things, it's not going to be limited. They're not going to limit themselves to money.
So have you tried these yet?
No, I haven't. I'm opening it right now. We're going to try these. Oh, look, it's chocolate covered Ritz crackers. It's like, what? They're just not even trying.
They look
this.
Like Thin Mints.
But they're not.
No, they're not. Well, Thin Mints have sucked for years.
I don't even know. There's no point in this because you know what it's going to taste like. It's going to taste like a Ritz
cracker with chocolate. I
can already taste it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Can I smell it? Yeah, I knew it would smell like that too.
It's that cheap ass. Keeblery sort of fudge smell, right?
Cheap ass Keeblery.
It's not even that. It's not even that good.
No, it's actually not.
Oh my God.
There's some kind of chocolate shortage right now. Have you heard about this?
What? No.
Cocoa shortage? All right, here we go.
There's probably hardly any in this. That is a boring goddamn snack. This is exactly as boring. It's more boring than you would think.
It needs more chocolate. The cracker to chocolate ratio is way off.
This is just stupid.
Yeah, but I'll be drinking. I'll eat it. I'll eat more of it. Don't worry.
Oh my God, it is everything you would expect and less.
It's exactly what you know what's weird is I thought there'd be like a flavor finish, like it would keep going.
No, it done.
Just stops. Yeah. It just sort of dropped, like my mouth's like, wait.
It's a Ritz cracker is not that interesting.
Yeah, you're right.
And the worst thing about this is the only thing I kind of liked about Ritz crackers is they like had that sort of salty butteriness to them. Mm-hmm. And this just completely overwhelms that.
Well, chocolate's totally going to outbitter that.
So it's shitty chocolate basically around a cardboard disc.
With some salt.
With a tiny bit of salt.
Yeah.
And there you go.
All right.
Limited edition.
Go check it out at Kmart or Walmart or...
Don't.
I don't know. If Trump's president at this point, folks, enjoy everything you like in life right now.
Then just buy a bunch of these and go fucking nuts.
Yeah, basically the purge because our days are not...
There must be things you could do with these. Like put a marshmallow between them or some fucking thing. I don't know.
The marshmallow would overwhelm everything.
Is that a bad thing, though?
Not necessarily, but there's so little flavor to them. So you had a disappointing but entertaining meal.
I did. And I had... We followed it up with... Should I do the... Do we just keep going with the food and then do the last thing? And so the...
I just have the drunk munchies. I need food now.
So. Go ahead. So please, go ahead.
I'm doing this selflessly for you, Smike.
So that was Saturday night. That was my wife and I. So Sunday night, I'm like, I want to do the opposite. I want to have a throwback night, and I want to go and revisit a chapter of my youth.
Misspent youth.
My misspent youth. And I have fond memories of this, of going out to Sonic.
And we had quite an experience right before that.
Yes.
And then we went from that to Sonic.
Yeah. But anyway. We're just talking about the Sonic right now. We'll get to the other experience, the good experience. So when I grew up going to Sonic as a kid, and I loved it.
Sure.
And I think the Sonics in Arkansas in the late 1970s,
maybe they were awesome.
They probably were better than today's Sonics. You're looking at that in an awfully weird way. You're not convinced it's food.
I'm trying to figure out how it lets my brain down so much. Like, I've had a pretty decent amount of alcohol. Like, I'm just craving anything right now.
But it's just not satisfying, is it?
It is not. It is the weirdest fucking thing. It's like aspartame. Sorry, go on.
So, I'm like, I want to go to Sonic. I want to get that goddamn... foot-long chili cheese hot dog like I used to get.
You would plan this out for a while.
I did. I've been thinking about this. I wanted to get a shake.
I'll do one more, but my brain's starting to realize that it's never going to get what it wants out of these.
Good. Stop that. Bad for you. So, yeah, I remember loving foot-long chili cheese hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was foot-long chili cheese coney. That was the specific name of it. I don't know if they changed the name. Was it still a coney? Anyway, it was a hot dog, coney, whatever. You don't need to check that.
All right.
And I wanted to get a shake. Mm-hmm. The shake was actually pretty good.
Yes.
The shakes were good. The hot dogs were not. Ugh.
It's like everything else about that meal was not.
Everything about that meal was just gross and like damp.
And the service sucked.
Wrong.
They fucked up our order.
They fucked up the order.
The food was disappointing.
The food was very disappointing. You can't go back, you know?
You really can't.
I
did watch a lady go through her entire order and nitpick every aspect of it with one of the employees.
Was this before we ate?
This is when I went back up to be like, my meal wasn't included in our meal.
Yeah, because you didn't, you actually got nothing.
Yeah, well, I like fries.
Yeah.
No, I was splitting my fries with Erica, so I got my shake. And I was not just going to eat a shake. I knew that was not going to go well.
It might have, though.
It should have.
In retrospect.
Probably would have been healthier. No, I think, you're right. But yeah, I watched this woman like nitpick everything because they just fucked up so many things with her order.
Yeah.
I was just like, right on, lady. Get Mel.
It was sad. It made me sad inside.
But, I mean, was it just the fast foodization of, like, everything? Like, was it just 2016, a bunch of bored college kids or high school kids working at a place they don't give a shit? And
I guess. And that must have been it. I can't believe that the Sonic that I remember, the Sonic I went to in the 70s, wasn't better than what we had. It must have been. It had to have been.
I'm tempted to say your nostalgia is overwhelming this, but I think just the quality, like, they hadn't gotten as cheap yet then.
No, I don't think so.
So, yeah, I think even a chain would still not be as cheap as it is now with their food product. So, yeah, you might be right.
I want to believe I'm right.
You know what?
Either way, I can't fucking go back to Sonic no matter what.
You can believe it all you want. I mean, literally, you can't disprove it, so...
Yeah.
But we do know for a fact that Sonic in Rochester and Henrietta is not good.
No. Never need to go back to that one.
Nope.
Not even just for a shake. The shakes were good, but not worth it.
Well, okay, if you had gone
If that place fucking closes tomorrow, I would be perfectly happy.
But if it were next door to that restaurant that had the kitchen in it,
it would which be they great... are not. They are nowhere near each other.
Not at all. But if they were, it would be a great 1-2 punch.
Because
you could go have a very unsatisfying 7-course meal, followed by a gut-wrenching shake. And the thing that would fill you the most would cost 1/20th of the rest of your meal. I'm guessing.
Yeah. So yeah, it was kind of a strikeout on both nights for dining for me.
But not experiences.
But not experiences. Now we're getting to the good part.
All right, so I have backstory here.
Okay, backstory away.
I don't know how much your wife told you, but I had to fucking fight to make that happen. Your wife...
I knew there was some angry exchanges going on.
I don't know if it's angry, but your wife shat all over this idea. Like, from I think she didn't understand what it was, partly.
We talked about it afterwards.
Yeah, and I would love some insight here.
Well... She thought it was gonna be
like haunted housey,
like the Sherlock Holmesy sort of stuff, or is like gonna be a bunch of people and
which I clearly explained was not the case.
Okay,
because that was the initial one, and I said, yeah, this isn't good. And then I was like, you know what? I really think Smike would like this. I have to find a better one, and I found the serial killer kidnapped you. You have to escape scenario, which is so much better. And it was no one else. So okay, so maybe we should take a step back. So we did an escape room.
Yes.
As your surprise didn't tell you what was going on, which ended up being really funny.
Yeah, because we pulled up and we were going to the Laser Quest.
Well, we pulled into a plaza, a massive plaza, and you're like, wait, are we going to Laser Quest?
Because I saw I'm looking around in the plaza, like, where are we going?
Yeah.
And I see Laser Quest, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I've seen the ads for this where the kids are running around and jumping on trampolines and doing backflips and shooting each other. And like, there is no fucking way I can do this.
So the escape room was in Laser Quest.
Yes.
And I could tell you were worried. Like, Smike, I'm not going to lie. No joke. You were in the bathroom because I told everyone to take a pee break before we started because of the timer. I am utterly convinced that you were in the bathroom doing a shit ton of stretches. My mental image is you right in front of a urinal, kind of like putting your arms out, right, and then doing like knee bends over and over again. Don't even tell me it's true or not.
I won't.
It's just that's my mental image.
I'll neither confirm nor deny.
Because all three of us were standing there, like, where the fuck is Smike? And like, I know, motherfucker's stretching. Yeah. So escape rooms are a really cool idea, but it turns out that many of them, especially the chain, the escape room,
yes,
like a franchise, seems pretty fucking lame. Like, if you don't pay hundreds of dollars, you don't get exclusive access to the room.
Yeah, I looked that up later.
Yeah.
You can't.
You have to buy out the room. You have to buy out 10 slots, and they're not cheap, like, compared to where we went. And it's, like, lame. It's like, oh, you're trying to convince Sherlock Holmes that you're going to join the League of Extraordinary Sleuths. Cheerio.
Yeah, so, like, pretty low stakes there.
Low stakes, lame ass. Right? And I think escape room. You were fucking trying to escape something. So I had it in my head. I was like, I want as close to Saw as possible. No, Joe, I said to Erica, I need to get as close to Saw as possible, or this is not going to have the stakes that Smike's going to need to recreate his Professor Layton fantasies. Which is a weird mashup.
Okay.
But there's symmetry.
I'm going with you, though.
Yeah, yeah. So I happen to find that Laser Quest, like, totally did this kind of in retrospect. I mean, now that we did it, it was a little half-assed, but it still was well done for what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was just a random room that they just turned out the lights so you couldn't see that it was, like, meant to be a video game arcade. Did you notice that?
Well, there was also, like...
There was, like, a giant space mirror, like, spaceship mural that...
Yeah. And there was, like, a payphone, I think, or something.
Oh, was
and
that...
It was a thing for a paper towel dispenser on the wall.
Really?
Yeah. And then there like an actual garbage can with garbage in it. Yeah,
that's right.
And I was like, I like looking at the oh, that's really just garbage.
Yeah, because I was going to fish in and you're garbage. Like, no, Mike, that's just a garbage. So if you're not familiar, escape rooms are actually really cool. I think we had a really good time. But
yeah.
the premise is you are quote unquote locked in the room.
You're for this really. One, I don't know what the other ones are.
No, they're all the same. You're locked in, but you're never really locked in. I mean, maybe the really expensive ones where they go all out. But the idea is you're locked in the room, and usually for some reason 45 minutes is the time that everyone seems to do.
Well, that seems it's a good time. I mean, because they want to cycle people through.
Right. So every hour they have a new group. They orient you. So you're locked, quote unquote, in a room, and you have to solve a series of puzzles and pick locks. At least this one was. And this was the right mix of stuff I wanted for you because it felt the most video game like.
Yeah.
And you have to puzzle your way out of the room.
Yeah. And without, you know, spoiling too much stuff. There was some cool stuff. The lights were out. There were like a couple of like little like red desk lamps.
They did a good job given the room.
And
was
you
not
could find flashlights to help you out.
That was actually a reward in one of the things. Yeah. It was an extra flashlight.
It was cool, and we hit it really well. We almost got it.
We were on the last puzzle, and we ran it.
I know. We were no exaggeration. We were so close.
We were holding the final puzzle box in our hand, and Erica even knew how to like.
She even had the key to open it in her hand.
But there was no instruction on how it worked, and we didn't really like back her up on it because we were all like, "Well, maybe there's someone else here or something else here."
But we got to the point where we had the thing that needed to be unlocked and the thing to unlock it literally touching each other.
Wasn't enough though.
But we couldn't get it that
couldn't
last
seal
inch.
The deal.
Couldn't seal the deal. But yeah, it was fun. It
had its corniness, which I was still a little bummed about, but I guess they can't really freak you out too much.
Yeah.
But no, it was a cool theme because it was like a serial killer's kidnapped you and you're the next victim. And in order to not get killed, although I think you were the one pointing this out. It's like solving all the puzzles, like logically in no way explains why you don't get killed.
It doesn't get you out of the room.
No, like you would think that's what you're trying to do, right? Yeah. Ultimately get out of the room, but you're trying to get into a box to tell you something.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? The guy's like, oh, well.
The guy comes in for 40 minutes. Oh, you solved it. Oh, God.
I can't kill you.
You're out of here. Go home, you kids.
Forget where I live. Don't tell the police or I'll kill you. you've identified Laser Quest as the likely destination.
Yes.
We are not discouraging that. We get out of we park near Laser Quest. We get out of the car and walk into Laser Quest.
Yeah.
Iris dancing class jokes because that was next door.
And I see the video games there. And there's like a couple of video games in the pinball. I'm like, well, I guess we're not going to be playing pinball.
We went to the smallest arcade.
I know. Because that was the other thought. I was like, well, okay. We did for one of my birthdays when you were in Vegas, we went to the pinball Hall of Fame.
Which was awesome.
Which was really, yeah, that was pretty awesome too.
And except thinking, they wouldn't take Saddam 20s. What was up with that? I still don't understand what that was all about. Anyway.
So I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's an arcade in here. And there's like a half-assed arcade.
Yeah. It was the things you see in a lobby of something else.
Yes.
Which is what it was.
Yeah. It was movie lobby arcade game.
And like, I like, when I sent you guys all to the bathroom, because they're very clear about taking a bathroom break. I went up to the dude. I'm like, okay, can you skip as much orientation as possible? Do not mention what we're doing. Just walk us into the room because we want to maintain this illusion for as long as possible. So let me. So when you walked into this dark room, did you think it was like a staging area for a Laser Quest, or did you finally like at what point?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay,
because that's how they do those things, right?
I don't know.
I've never done a Laser Quest, but I've like been to the. I've seen the places, and I know that they have staging rooms in them.
Okay.
We're like we're blue team and we have to go fuck up red team because of stupid backstory.
Because of color. Color difference, man.
And the fate of whatever depends on it.
So you're walking into this room thinking you're going to get handed a bunch of laser tag gear.
Yeah.
And then, like, he plays his, like, corny serial killer CD.
Yeah. Like, okay, this isn't a laser quest that I've ever heard of.
This is a weird setup, man. I'm going to shoot cadavers? But yeah, no, I'd say overall it was pretty solid in terms of what I hoped it would be. There was a nice mix. There was a lot of, like, lock... Not so much lock picking as, like, lock puzzles.
Yeah.
And then, like, traditional puzzles, like, trying to figure out... Like, there was some picture puzzles and some logic puzzles. It was a cool mix.
Yeah, it was a good mix. And we did a good job. I mean, we really quickly, like, all sort of scattered...
We floundered for about 5 minutes till we figured out what we needed to do.
Yeah.
Because that's the... I think once we got started...
Throw them over here.
Yeah.
So, like... A couple of us were just digging out clues, and the two, I think Erica was one of the ones who was going through and actually trying to unlock things and figure things out.
Once we knew, like, one of the locks had a certain code, she was trying them all. I spent a lot of time staring in skulls. I spent an inordinate amount of time shining a tiny flashlight into skulls, like, trying to find shit.
That sounds like kind of a personal issue.
You know, right? Look, I'm saying that I did it on my own time, and I thought it would apply here, but it kind of did. But yeah, no, it was fun, and I actually highly recommend it. They do
another
one.
Yeah, I would too, definitely.
But that didn't have the same kind of stakes. It was like a vacation rental, like a vacation, like a travel agent gets broken
into.
So
you have to figure out how to get out of a... timeshare sales pitch?
No, there's no way out of this. They are immutable. Yeah, that sounded lame. But yeah, this was it's called the Cellar, which sounds like a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a restaurant.
Cellar Door.
Cellar Door, yeah. Not there anymore.
No, a little moment of silence. So if you're in Rochester at least, it is at Laser Quest, and I think a lot of Laser Quests do them now. Mm-hmm. It's like a new little way to make money for them. It's called The Cellar. That's the scenario. Well done. Affordable. If you show up with just 3 people minimum, you get it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it guarantees that there's no one else doing it with you, which would be weird. I mean, it could be cool, but too much risk. Too much
risk.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to do those with the other, with a
You'd probably
a
end up with
group.
Some RIT kids, you know.
Yeah.
Nerds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meh.
So yeah, that was the good part of the birthday. Unlike the dying experiences.
But yeah, I had a lobby with your wife on that. And I had to be like, I really think he's going to like this. And she's like, honest to God, it's not me. I just think he won't like it. And so we were like going like, hey, that's why I had to call you and be like, I'm apologizing in advance. It is not your wife's fault if it is not enjoyable. I am forcing us to do this.
I enjoyed it.
Good.
I thank you for it.
You're quite, it was Erica's
I'm glad
idea.
That everybody still gets along with each other.
It wasn't that bad. That. But I was really firmly convinced you were going to enjoy it. But so the one question I have on this is, you had seen something downtown and you said it looked dumb. She talked about, I was very confused about that when we were leaving. And she was like, why did you say that the escape room downtown looked stupid when we drove by it? I think was exactly what she said.
I don't know.
Okay. I got the impression you guys had mistaken it for something else, like a dinner theater place. But... All right, if this doesn't sound familiar, then it was a spur of the moment. You were excited for Sonic. Let's face it, you weren't all there. You were thinking about getting a foot-long something in your mouth.
I was. And I got that foot-long something in my mouth, and it was not...
It was a disappointment.
It was not what I was hoping for.
Would you say it didn't fill your mouth the way you thought it would? It didn't feel right in your mouth? How about that?
Did not feel right in the mouth, no.
It didn't feel the way you remembered
it feeling?
Had a
bad mouth feel.
Yeah, it didn't feel the way you remembered it feeling in your mouth.
No.
No.
Not at all.
That's sad. It's unfortunate when you're expecting something in your mouth a certain way and it's not. You know,
I know. I mean,
not unlike these fudge covered.
I mean, I guess the length was there, but that was about all I could say for it.
Yeah, but you know, size matters not. Huh? We're gonna buy Simon a.
This is a. I'm just gonna let that sit there, and people can imagine what that segue might be.
An ABC book using Star Wars, because I just quoted Yoda. See, there was a very awkward segue there. But yes, I agree.
He still likes the Star Wars, huh?
Yeah, he likes the droids. Oh, actually, I blew his mind. So really quick, because we're right at the end. So we were watching Clone Wars, the cartoon.
Yes.
And he basically has got two episodes he likes. Well, so what?
So episode... he just wants to watch those two episodes over and over again.
Yeah, it's called having a child. Is you watch the same shit over and over again, so many times.
What? Man, how did we survive? Because, I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't have a VCR when I was at it. I mean, there was nothing. You were just like, whatever's on TV is it.
You must have recreated shit afterwards.
I guess.
Because, I mean, it's like a big memory thing. Like, he memorizes this and he commits to it. He reenacts it afterwards. Like, he has this shit locked down.
That just wasn't a thing. I mean, it couldn't have been. I mean,
I think we're just all stupider back then.
We just played with fucking toys.
Well, he memorizes his books, too.
Okay.
I mean, all kids do that, but it's like they seem like they're reading it, but they just have re-memorized it from having you read it so many times.
Like, but yeah, going back and like trying to watch the same thing over and over, yeah, just not, wouldn't happen. No way.
No. I mean, yeah, how would you? There was no, you probably didn't have a remote on your TV when you were first TV. Remember? No. Yeah. Or it was wired. A wired remote. Remember a wireless remote was actually like a big deal?
Yeah, the clicker.
Yeah. So...
Anyway,
so he's been watching Clone Wars. And he's got it down to one episode. He will watch the whole thing because it's got everything. It's got a bunch of clone troopers fighting the separatist robots. It's got Jedi and Sith fighting. It's the perfect package. Perfect package. And then there's this other episode that's totally random about a clone that like defected or didn't defect, but like is a like a deserter and he like started a family and then he has, like ends up having to defend them. There's a roughly 30 seconds of the episode he likes. Because it's like one dude facing a bunch of commando droids, but like he has toy binoculars, fake binoculars made out of toilet paper tubes.
Nice.
They made at daycare, and so like he reenacts the thing where like the guy looks out and his wife goes, "What's out there?" And he goes, "Commando droids." But like when Simon does it, he does it really monotone. So Erica makes fun of him because she's like, "What's out there?" And he goes, "Commando droids." Like over it, he just says, "Ask me again, what's out there?" Anyway, so he has a very distinct image of what that universe is based on these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So Rebels, the new cartoon, which is fucking amazing, did a throwback episode where one of the characters from Clone Wars is in that cartoon. One of the clones is
okay.
An old man. And they come across an old squad of battle droids. And they, like, through a kind of silly scenario, have to reenact and finish the Clone War that never got finished. So I told Simon, I'm like, hey, I have an episode of something to show you that's not Clone Wars, but it's a lot like Clone Wars. And like I watched his brain, like his mind just explode. Like he's really obsessed with it now, but he was trying to make sense. He's like, the guy's older and he kind of the same voice actor. So he like recognizes the voice because he's heard him so many times. Mm-hmm. But
it's just not right.
It's similar animation, but slightly different. And like other supporting characters are all different.
Yeah.
But they have lightsabers. I can tell he's like, I can watch the wheels churning. And he's like, I like this, but what the fuck is going on? But now, yeah, he makes. I've saved it on the DVR because he wants to watch it periodically. But it's pretty funny.
All right, so a thumbs down on the place that has the kitchen. A thumbs down on Sonic, and boy, a thumbs down on fudge limited edition fudge covered Ritz. Jesus.
But what about that spiced grapefruit tonic?
Spiced grapefruit tonic with.
Russian
don't know
standard
what
vodka.
Russian standard vodka. Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Yeah, I did enjoy it more than the fancy aged rum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is not meant to be to go.
No, a good alcoholic beverage, but not in this particular combination.
Nope. But yeah, you can get this. Well, you could. I don't know if they still have it because I think they were getting rid of it. But Erica found this very pretentious sounding name of the maker. It's like Boone and something. Boone and Hampton. I don't remember. But it's like a
Boone
large,
and Docks.
Boone and Doggle. but yeah, it's in a tall, like 750 milliliter bottle, and it's a spiced grapefruit tonic.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. I don't think we ever introduced the podcast.
No.
Let's do that now and I'll cut it in later.
Okay.
You are
S. Michael Smith, and you are...
M. Michael Crossing.
And we are Buddies in Space. Wow, we never got it like that good before.
We need to do it when we're drunk, apparently.
I guess. We should always do it at the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
So again, we are...
Oh, no, I'll just use that twice.
Oh, okay. You cheap bastard.
Well, there'll be an hour in between. They won't fucking notice. Wait, did I edit this part out? Shit.
What's upside down?
Stranger Things?
Buddies in Space is a stolen dress entertainment production. My God. I always want to read all of the highlighted stuff.
You know what? Read it all, man. Fucking do it.
Buddies in Space is a stolen dress entertainment production. Buddies in Space is a member of the Stolen Dress Entertainment Podcast Network. Visit stolendress.com. I knew that. I didn't even have to look at that.
Nice.
To check out other Stolen Dress productions, podcasts, blogs, tweets, merchandise, videos, books, dangly bits,
boondoggles,
action figures, what have you.
That'd be a really poor seller. Like action figures based on your favorite podcaster. What even?
There's an untapped work with. There is an untapped market there, my friend. An untapped market.
I think it's untapped for a reason. Unless you're like Mark Maron or Chris Hardwick, and even then, that's the most boring action figure ever. But otherwise, it's like I don't even fucking know what these guys look like.
That's the thing, though. We can look like anything.
Oh my God, we can finally have six packs. We can have those weird, awkward, like.
Fuck that! I'm gonna be a goddamn cyborg. Like a laser tail.
Laser tail?
Yeah.
Everything else is human, just the laser tail.
Yeah.
Is it like grafted onto your spine?
I'm a cyborg, okay? I'm a cyborg with a laser tail.
But everything else is normal.
Well, I mean, everything is either cyber or org, and then there's a laser tail.
Is there an org chart?
I guess. My doctor's got to have something so know what's what.
Are you able to protect yourself against the cyber?
I can cyber like you wouldn't believe.
Is this the tail end of the podcast?
Yes. Are we in a tailspin right now?
Yeah, we are. All right. Well, episode 51. Thank you for listening. You finally are off book. On
our a little bit.
Of our script. Yeah, I got nothing else. Those are weirdly disappointing, those crackers.
I know. What?
But you know what I mean? Like when you're eating something and like you expect it to have an end to its flavor and it just stops. I don't know how else to explain it. It literally just like your brain sensation of it just ends before it's supposed to. It doesn't taste right.
Limited edition. Eat my brain.